Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the first episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman in 2024. We made it! Yay! So I am so excited to share this episode because it is a reintroduction to me and who I am in this season of my life and how I want to show up for you and how I want to provide for you. So I had one of my really good friends, Laura. She has seen me from the beginning. I joined a group program 3 years ago because I wanted some type of direction on what I'm supposed to do as a business owner. I knew how to be a therapist. That was great. But I had no idea what it meant to be a business owner and to grow my business. So I went to this program. I met all these amazing people. And in the midst of that, we started branching off. So we branched off and we had our small group that met weekly. Now, so a lot of people fell off from our weekly meetings, but there are three of us that have held steady and we have been meeting for the most part, unless it's like holidays or something like that. We have been meeting weekly. We went from Fridays to Mondays for the past 3 years. So, excuse me, these women, they know me. They know my ups, they know my downs, they know my struggles. And I felt that this was the best person to interview me. And she did not disappoint. So, welcome to another level of me. Welcome to me peeling back layers and recognizing who I am and how I want to show up in this world. I hope you enjoy this episode. And before we get into the episode, I want to invite you to my new virtual community, Coco and Champagne. It is a place for Black women to come together and not discuss what they do or how they show up in this world for other people, but to have a candid conversation about what you want, about what you desire, and what pleasure can look like for you on a day-to-day basis. So if that is something you are interested in being a part of, the link is in the show notes. We will meet monthly, and I'm hoping to do some in-person events for Coco and Champagne once a quarter, but we don't know. I'll let you know, honey. But join me. Link is in the show notes. And please, please, please enjoy this episode. So, Laura, thank you so much for being my interviewer. I appreciate you. I did this when I first started the podcast, and that was season one, and we are in season four, and a lot has changed. So I want to share with people, and I don't do that well on my own, so I need someone to interview me.
Well, I am thrilled to be asked, so thank you. And yeah, and you know me, I have a lot of questions.
So. That is why I chose you. And your questions are always so good. They're not surface. So I know that people are going to get a lot about me and who I am now out of this episode.
Great. So I think, so for one thing, you know, since we've known each other for a little while, mm-hmm. If there's a question that you feel is like too deep, too fast, say, you know, look for later and we'll get there eventually,
okay. You
know?
Okay.
So don't feel like just because I ask it, you have to answer it.
Okay. Because I will be like, oh my God. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can say pause on that one and we'll come back around.
Okay.
Okay. So I think one thing we've talked about over the last year or two is how to talk about ourselves to our clients and our potential clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had so many conversations about labels and how we feel about what we call ourselves. And so when in thinking about what your work is now, or what is emerging for you with that, how do you think about how you describe yourself right now?
It's interesting that you asked this question, because I went to an event on Sunday, and I always like brace myself when I introduce myself as a sex therapist, because the room goes crazy and everyone has questions and they're like, oh my gosh. And the lady next to me was like, I can't top that. I'm just a nurse. And I'm like, no, no, you're not just a nurse. I'm just a therapist, you know? But when you put that sex on the front of it, it just evokes so much emotion out of people and they're intrigued. And what I found is the intrigueness is very surface level, just based off of the people that I've worked with. So everyone wants to know about, oh, the orgasms and positions and toys and whatnot. And I have found that that is the most basic questions. It's the easiest questions to ask. And by no fault of the people, they really don't know what it is they actually want to know, because the surface level things, the things under the iceberg, under the water that we can't see, are a lot harder. Like, they're not going to come to me and say, I absolutely despise my partner and the sex is not good at all. How do I have that conversation? Because now we're talking about ego. So I'm definitely I am attempting to step away from labeling myself as a sex therapist, but I think a part of my brain that lights up and feels really good enjoys the reaction that people have. And I feel like that I need to get away from that, because that has become a crutch of being able to share what it is I do and what I want my clients to experience just across the board.
Yeah, I hear that. And, you know, even when you say it, you think, you know, like when you first told me you're a sex therapist, it's almost like it's a sexy title, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, I want to be in a room with you because I'm going to learn something interesting,
mm-hmm.
either about you or about myself. Like, oh, that tips and tricks kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think then, yeah, what you just said about it, you know, the ego part of it is like, people are like, oh, it's actually way deeper than I first thought. So yeah, that's interesting. So when you think about when you think about what you are moving into with your work, and you know, I've witnessed you change your focus in how you talk about your work from sort of sex focus to self-care, or maybe self-care being a bigger part of it than you were initially talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if you would share a little bit about how your personal journey has combined with your professional experience to create your current offerings.
Your questions always hit in like real time. It's so crazy. And this isn't even planned. Like,
the questions aren't always mine, you know, they do come through me. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Channeled. She's being channeled. So recently, like, you know, and for those listening, Laura has known me since like the beginning of me stepping out of corporate. And so she's seen a lot of pivots and a lot of shifts, and I've shared a lot. And the end of 2022 was a struggle. I think I got lost in all the business stuff and all the what success looks like and what failure looks like. And that I couldn't do it anymore, because everything was driving towards money, like money in the bank, what your account looks like, what you should be bringing in. And that was all I could see. And it wasn't looking like the people said it was supposed to look. And that was causing me to really look down on myself. And I wasn't being as nice to myself. So I dropped everything And in the midst of dropping everything, I dropped my dance classes. And so I haven't been in my pole classes. And that's another thing that people are, know me for, like my dancing and my shoes and everything. And I hadn't been in dance class in about a little over a year. November of last year was my last graduation. And I just signed up to start again in January. And I don't know, in Casper, I don't know if everyone's seen Casper or if like that's a way of dating myself. I don't know. But there's a part where like the ghost like goes through her body and like she can feel the iciness. I felt as soon as I hit purchase, I felt it all come back. Like I felt I was looking through my old videos and watching myself progress, and I was like, oh, that's where it was. Like, it was the ability for me to be in a space where I am completely out of my head. I feel so sexy. I feel so sensual. I intentionally created a pole persona that allows me to move as slow as absolutely possible. And the inspiration and the content and the topics, it just started flowing through me. And I was like, that's my self-care. That's my place. That's where I'm able to create. And I don't have to, it's easy, it's simple, which are my words for 2023. And because I took all of that away, which was good because I needed to like check back into myself and get quiet. But that's the place where I am able to the maximum self-care because there's nowhere in me when I'm there that I'm in my head. Well, I can't say that when she has us doing stuff where I'm like, I can't do that. But I end up, like I end up
Yeah.
doing it. But that's my self-care. And it may not be everybody's self-care, but it reminded me, yes, you want to know about the sex. Yes, you want to know about the orgasms, but I can get you to a place where you find that thing where you don't have to be in your mind. Like that is not. It doesn't serve you. And you may not be able to do it all the time, but you know exactly where to go back to get the inspiration or to fall in love with yourself or to be reminded about the love that you have for your partner, not in the bedroom, but just like over time, like the process and the journey that the two of you have gone through. And every time, every week that I go to that studio, I fall in love with myself over and over and over again. And this is my third time restarting from the beginning, and I'm never the same. Like, I know a lot more about myself, even though, I was in level six and I'm starting at level two, mainly because, again, it's been a year, but also I had so much fun in the beginning. So it's like, if I can like muster up this fun and try it again in a different way, what am I going to do as I continue into the next year? And so that's what I want to create. That's why I forgot. Like I kept trying to make offers and find clients and the wording, it made sense, but it didn't. And when I hit purchase, no lie, it was the craziest thing ever. It just all came back. And I was like, oh, this is what I want them to feel. And it feels so good to find that place and remember why I love therapist or coaching, why I love this part of my work.
Yeah, and that gave me shivers when you said that you remember you fall in love with yourself over and over again in your class in those classes. And I think that is when I hear you talk, over time when I've heard you talk about the clients that you love working with and the work, the actual work of helping them go through that transformation, that remembering to about self-love. It's the same kind of energy. So I think.
Yeah, because that's loving yourself gets you wherever you want to go, right? Like not loving what you do. The women that I bring in, they're high achieving Black women. They're like making all this money. They're killing it with their families. Like they're doing the things. They're checking all the boxes. And it's like, that's great. That's what someone told you you were supposed to do. So you went out and did it because a lot of them are the first generation to do all these things, first generation to have money and vacations and to do their own business. And at no point do they take into consideration how lost they, as an individual, as a person, as a woman, are in all the boxes that they're checking off, because they've been told this is what makes you amazing. This is what makes you who you are, is your degrees and, the amount of money and the house and, your family. And that's not what it is. When she takes the time to fall in love with herself and whatever it is that she wants to do, and however much money that it brings in a different caliber of people that see her, like are able to witness her, but she can't be witnessed if she doesn't see herself. And it's understandable that she can't, because us as Black women, we're not meant to be seen. We've never meant to be seen. We're meant to do, to produce for someone else, and that's it. And so this is brand new. This is very, very brand new. And it's hard to find someone to point you in the right direction, because we're just scratching the surface in this pleasure, intimacy, sex realm for Black women. This is very new. The trail has not been paved all the way. And so as the generations go by, I am hoping that I get to be part of the trailblazers that does wear the trail. I just look at it as like a nature trail of wearing that path to where it's like, no, we can go, we can see it. This is the way that we go over here. We don't have to go that way. That's how I look at it. And that makes me excited, even if I don't get to see what I create. I know the ripple effect of working with one woman, because she acts different. And then she's around family and friends, and they're like, well, what are you doing? And she's able to give information. And then that trickles and that trickles. So that makes me happy.
That just makes me go,
Like the Campbell Soup commercial.
Yeah. So I wanna spiral back a little bit in the conversation when you were describing that feeling of when you registered again for your dance course and you said, even though in quotes, you are coming in at a level two instead of a level six. And I'm wondering about, how we've talked also a lot over time about what our culture and our society tells us about quote unquote failure and going backwards. And like, if you ask some people about that, they'd see like, oh, look, she's, not as good. She's going backwards. But the way you described it was almost, as I heard it, I'll say, is a re-remembering of what you loved about those early classes. So can you talk a little bit more about that idea of kind of re-remembering versus accepting that you've diminished or failed?
Yeah, and this is just in life in general. We take a path and we don't pay attention to like the beginning. We're just trying to get through the beginning to get to not necessarily the end, but like the goal at hand, right? And so, whole class, the goal is I want to be able to climb, I want to be able to go upside down, like all these things I want to be able to do. And you bypass the foundations, because when you're new, not new, but like when you've done this before, the foundations seem boring. When you're in it, it's boring. And it's like, oh God, we're just walking. I know how to walk. I don't want to learn how to walk in my heels. When in all actuality, you can always practice walking in heels. Excuse me. But I knew that I wanted to start back over. Even if I hadn't taken a break, I knew I wanted to start back over, because towards the end, I would always say, gosh, I miss learning the basic spins. Like, I miss learning how to walk. Like, I miss, at some point, I had to create my own routines. I miss being fed the routine so that I don't have to think much about it. And, it makes me think about life, like rushing this process to get to whatever may be on the other side. And we miss out on the foundations. And when we're no longer that person going through it new,
we look back and we're like, oh man, that was really good. Like, it was all so simple at that point. And now things are complicated and there's a lot of hands in the pot and there's a lot of people and it's a lot. And so I think by going back, I found the appreciation in the fundamentals and the foundation, which also helped with my business. Like, the foundation was, I just want to help Black women feel good in their bodies because that's where they make the best decisions. And that's where they're going to know what they want for themselves to make the best decisions. And also find the people who love them for who they are, not for what they do or how they show up. Going back to figuring out your body is the foundation, like the basic. And when someone's always like, well, how do I do that? And I'm like, just pay attention to your five senses. Instead of rushing through eating, won't you just like play around with it? If you can name the spices, like how many times can you chew before you can't chew anymore? That's the absolute basic thing that you can do to get to know your body again. And so I was like, okay, I'm starting over, but not starting over, you know, in dance and in my business. I'm going back to the foundations, which is going to help me create something that I can show up for every single day and not get tired of talking about it, even though everyone's like, you should be tired of talking about it. I don't ever get tired of talking about my glasses. It excites me every single time. I watch my videos like it's the first time, and I'd be like, girl, look at you, hyping my own self up. I don't get tired of it. And I feel like I can have that same energy with whatever I choose to offer in the new year.
Yeah. And what I heard, and correct me if I don't have it right, but I heard that you're actually bring in going back to the your classes at the level that you chose to go back to them at, that you're bringing a wisdom to the newness.
I like that.
That idea of like, you have this experience, you've gone through level two, you did all the levels, and so yet you know, like this I think is such a great example of you in your listening to your body tell you it wants to go back to level two for all the reasons you mentioned, and that by doing that, it's you are like the antithesis of what our culture tells us. You are saying, no, I have this wisdom. My body wants to go back here for these reasons, and I'm gonna listen to it. I'm gonna do what my body tells me. And so I think it's like you are taking your own medicine that way, you know?
I am, and it took a while to get here. I had to be quiet, right? Like, I had to, as much as I was struggling this time last year, it was necessary for me to shed everything. Like, I didn't hang out with friends. I was literally at the house figuring it out. Like, what do I want? And it's really hard to do that when there's so much noise. Especially as a business owner, everyone has got their own thing, and you should try this. And oh, let me buy this $47 this, and you can help me with sales and this and this and this. And not having the outcome that I feel like I'm supposed to have by doing what this person told me to do. So I was just like, scrap it. I'm going back to therapy and I'm going to do the bare minimum. Full circle, going back to the foundations. I didn't even think about that. It's a light bulb was like, you did it there, Natasha. But like going back to, I know I need to eat. I know I need to sleep. I know I need to see my clients. And I know I need to make sure my family is good. Everything else has to go. And I want to go to therapy. Everything else has to go. And I want to start over. And I allowed myself to sit in the not doing anything, no business books. I went to, you know, fiction, and I found a wonderful horror podcast to listen to that was fun. And I wasn't taking in information anymore. I wasn't on social media. And when you have that much time and that much quiet, it's uncomfortable to hear the truths, but it's what I needed to be able to make the next best decision for me. And so throughout that time, I was able to add more things. Well, Natasha, what do you like to do? Well, I think I would like to try macrame. And I tried macrame, and I think I want to learn how to sketch. And I got a sketchbook, and I started looking at YouTube videos, and I really like reading. So, and I don't want to just read about business and personal development. I like reading stuff with a storyline to it. And so I started including that on top of understanding I don't need to do everything. So asking for help, asking my partner to do more things, leaning more on my family. And during that time, some people fell off because if you're not reaching out, sometimes people aren't reaching out to you. And so the people who reached out, I was like, look, I'll be back in February. Whatever we want to do, whatever we want to plan, that's my deadline to come back outside and be visible again. And that's what I did. And even though I'm back on social media and everything now, I can still hear myself. I needed that, I guess it was like 3 months to hear my voice, to hear what I needed, and to feel what I wanted. And not wonder, oh, am I comparing myself? Am I doing this because someone else said that I need to be doing it? Like, let me immerse myself in experiences that make me feel good and then slowly integrate myself back into the world. A lot of people don't like the quiet. I've had multiple clients tell me it's too quiet. Like, I don't want to hear my thoughts. There's a lot of things you have to go through, but you have to sift through that in order to know what is next, which is the space that I want to create, like a place for you to come and just be quiet, to just be still. Any questions you have, someone's available to ask those questions. But I want you to reflect. I want you to think about how things could be different. I want you to know what you sound like in you, or even if you're trying to hear God or the universe, whatever it is that you need that makes you trust yourself. I want you to hear it so you can make the best decision for you. Once you do that, sex comes easy. Like, sex is the easy part. The orgasm and stuff, that's the easy part. The hard part is, why are you not there? Like, why are you in your head in a moment where you should be immersed in your body? And so that's how I got here. That's how I got to this place of knowing what I want, allowing more space in my schedule, in my life, doing things that I enjoy, going back to like the childlike things. I went skating. Like, you got to be quiet because you can't hear. There's so much noise. God, there's so much noise.
Wow. So I think, hearing you talk, speak just then, it made me wonder about how someone who is considering working with you could think about what that might look like. And I, the thing that jumped out at me when you were talking is that, you took a certain amount of time and you described it as a long time because it felt like a long time. And I know, I witnessed it in real time. And some weeks when we would talk, we would both be like, I'm doing literally nothing. Like, both of us were like,
You were
I'm
the
a
inspiration for that. Well, I remember you telling me, like, if I could do as close to nothing as possible, how can I make that happen? And I was like, oh, I like
Yes, that is actually my goal in life. But what I was thinking about, what I actually want to say about that is, I witnessed, we did that for a while, and then it's like, I don't know if how you think about it. This is my question, I think. It felt like a bunch of stuff manifested for you. Like, there was this period of, I don't know what it is. Like, you were sitting and just vibing with yourself for a while, and then all of a sudden, all this stuff, all these things came to you, and partnerships and people and experiences. And I felt like it happened at some point. Things were just like bam, 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 and you were just making choices. Like, you just started. You went from not not acting, not taking action, to making a whole bunch of choices and or decisions quickly. And so I wonder if you recall that, and if you, or, you know, over time, as, because when I hear you talk now, like most recently about things, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. And it feels easy, like it came to you in an easeful way. So can you talk a little bit about kind of how things might be feeling differently for you after you took that time for yourself?
I think for me, it was, and I know we've talked about this, like, is that really a thing? But I think at some point I came to a place where it was like, Natasha, you have to make a decision. Like, you have to, do you want things to be how it's always been? Now that you see it, now that you're aware, now that you know how you take in information, how things affect you, being able to reflect on myself, do you want the same thing? No, I don't. I don't want the same thing. Well, you tell your clients all the time, you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So what are we going to do differently? And so that led to, which I did an episode on this, my three words for 2023, which were simple, easy, and fun. If it didn't fall into that category, it just didn't have my attention. And when I found myself resisting or working really hard, I would have to sit back and say, this is too hard. How can I make this simpler? Or what can I do to make this easier for me? And usually I would be able to find a solution. Either you're going to have to power through it because it has to get done. Someone else can do it, or we're just not going to do it right now or at all. And I became okay with being able to make those decisions. And the faster I made the decision, I have to worry about it no more. So then I could focus on something else. I didn't want hard things to take up like free space in my mind. You know, like if you're going to be in my mind, you need to pay rent. And that's by enhancing my life, enhancing my experiences. And I think just the decision to live a sensational life, which would be like living my life through my senses. I don't always want to be in my head because my head will stop me from doing things because it's scary or because it's something that someone else isn't doing or statistically this is not going to work out. Okay, well if it doesn't work out, that's fine. Like at least I went through the process. I went through the journey of it. And I think also understanding my relationship with success and failure through those 3 months that I was just with myself helped a lot because being a high school student, that high school college that thrived off of making A's, like that was my superpower. I got an A. I don't have to take midterms. I was pissed off in my graduate school when I got a 3.98. Like I was really, really, you know, like pissed off, but I had to like check my relationship with success and with failure. And now I see things differently. It's not based off of my account, which is what I felt like was such a big part of the beginning stage of being a business owner, of how you can make this much money and how you can be a millionaire. And eventually I had to be like, girl, what would you do with $1 million? Like you don't even, when we break down and look at the numbers, you don't even need $1 million to like live the life that you want, which is just to do whatever I want to do. If I want to travel tomorrow, let's hop on a flight. If I want to do something with the kids, just take the day off and do it. And once I built that relationship, I think that's where the biggest shift was. Just of just like doing it. Just do it. Maybe someone answers, maybe they don't. And I think that's how some of these experiences have come through is because I'm aligning myself with people that are doing the same partnerships. People are just shooting their shot. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. You know, like I'm seeing them do the things that I'm pushing myself to do. So, all that to say, it genuinely was a decision. I didn't want to sit in that anymore. I didn't want to struggle or be sad or be angry or do wall slide. No, I didn't want to do that anymore. So I just made a decision to do something different, and it has worked out. It's not always great. It doesn't always look how I want it to look. But because I've created a life where I do the things that I want to do, it's not that hard anymore.
So I just when you were describing that, what how that decision making looks different now after that period of whatever you want to call it, reflection, experimentation of new ways of thinking or being, I guess, I think more is more important. I got a flash of kind of your ecosystem, and now it's gone. But so I want to try to get back in there because I liked it in there. But what I was here, what I'm curious about in there is, I feel like before you took the time to be different, you were making decisions one way, a certain way, some kind of way, and now you make decisions a different way. Can you describe the difference a little bit more, like what it actually looked like?
I think before the decisions that I was making before I call it like burning it all down and starting over was out of a survival mindset, right? Like, just about every decision that I was making was based off of, I can be honest, my bank account, right? Like, is this decision gonna make me more money? Is this offer gonna make me more money? And that is how I approached everything. Like, I need more money. I need more money. I need more money. Because in my mind, I did. Like, I want to live like these people are living. I want to work with this person. I don't want to have to do these certain things anymore. And so that's what was driving me, the financial piece of everything. And when it didn't look the way I wanted it to look, or like certain things weren't getting paid the way they needed to get paid, I would go into a panic. I would go into a spiral. I would go into a, woe is me, we're going to lose everything. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And it was just like a habit, it was natural. And maybe that was part of the journey and part of the process of leaving my corporate and kind of like full circle. Finding me as a CEO business owner is releasing the idea that my money is what determined my life. And so during that time of like reflecting, it was like, but I'm fine. You know, like everything doesn't look the way I would like it to. You know, my goal is to be the auto pay queen and put everything on auto pay. I'm not there yet, but like to look back, I'm like, okay, we've been doing this for 2.5 years. And Tasha's like, you're fine. You still have your house. The kids are still eating. They're fine. They're happy. Like you have clothes. Like everyone is, y'all still travel. Like you're fine. And then that's when I started grasping the idea of the difference between surviving, living, and thriving. And I think my decision was, I don't want to just survive anymore. That's not fun. And if fun is one of my words, then I can't do that anymore. Like I know for a fact I'm okay. And it probably is like the nervous system thing of being safe. To not worry about these things because everyone tells you to worry about if your bills are late or if your credit cards are over or if this, that, and the other. And so that's what I was doing. I was just worrying about everything. But when I made the decision that, shit, if I can't do nothing about it, I'm not going to sit here and worry about it because it's pointless. It's pointless. I don't care who told me to worry about those things because all of that is learned. Like I watched my dad nitpick about stuff when we were growing up, about what money was going to this, and like watching other people talk about your credit score should be this, and you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that, and forgiving myself for the things that I needed to do to this point with money, and also doing like a lot of work with my therapist around money. Let me tell you, money will fuck you up. It's like that releasing that relationship and the worry allowed me to focus more on things that I enjoy and the people that I enjoy. Like, who do I want to spend my time with? Who makes me laugh and feel good? Who makes me feel uncomfortable? Where do I like to be as far as space, even my home? Like, I've started working on how can I make this more comfortable and more cozy? And like, how do I declutter? Why do I have all of this? That's where my focus is. I want to thrive in this lifetime. And unfortunately, as a Black person, thriving is not talked about because, like, who knows how to have that conversation? Because we live in a world where no one really wants to see us thrive. Like, a lot of decisions have been put in place so that we can't thrive. So I had to figure out what does thriving look like for me despite all the parameters that are put around me. Like, they're there. I can't do anything about that. I hope that one day someone is able to burn it down and like we have the free range that we want. I recognize that there are things that I have to worry about just because I am who I am, but I'm not going to let that keep me from thriving. So that's the shift that I made. Like, I was living, but there was still like that hesitancy and that survival. And when I recognized there's a difference between living and thriving, I was like, well, I want that. Like, I want to thrive. I want to be on the end of my road and say, well, I did it all. There is nothing that I could sit here on this bed and say, I didn't do that. Like, I don't want any regrets. I want to try it once. Either I like it or I don't, and I never have to do it again. And so that is the mentality I think I've started using with things like making myself visible and having conversations with people and, you know, putting myself out there and going to events and having conversations with people. It's like the worst case scenario is nothing ever comes of it. The best case scenario is I've gained someone in my community who wants what I have, who wants to have the experiences that I'm trying to provide, or I've just created another connection of someone that is just like really, really cool and interesting to talk to.
Yeah, and as I heard you talking, I was thinking about what I would have also witnessed in with you over the last year or so, which is we talk pretty much every week about what we act what actions we took or what decisions we made, and I and I think I would talk about my one or two things, and then you would talk about your 15 experiments that you did. And it's so inspiring because I heard over time, I have heard you go from like, I did this because I read that I should, or someone I respect said I should, that this should work, to like, I'm just gonna try this and see if it's fun. And so that's, I feel like when I heard you talk about like you were gonna dive into TikTok, I was like, oh. And then you were like, this is so
It's
fun.
is so fun. I still love TikTok.
And that's just one example like of all these things where I have heard like the way you talk about the experiences. When we first were talking, it was like, oh, I tried this, I failed. I tried this, it failed. I tried this, it failed. And now it's like, I tried that, I didn't like it. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yes, and I'm quick to move stuff out of the way. And I think that is what's created so much space for me to try stuff. Because y'all will be like, you're doing so much. And I'm like, it just really doesn't feel like it. And it's because anything that doesn't feel good, I've moved it out of the way, or I found a way to do it as little as possible. So it's filled with a lot of things that I enjoy and I have so much fun with. So for me, doing it, it doesn't feel like a lot. It just feels like a whole lot of fun.
And that's what I was talking about when I felt like you were doing like 10 things in a week. It's like that was just a whole lot of fun, right? So you were moving through. And so when I think about, I have in my imagination what I dream for you for your work, which
Oh.
may, you know, as your friend means one thing. I know that I'm not your target audience. So I definitely own that. But what I'm curious about in this, where I'm trying to go with this is, you know, I have seen you try and reject or try and modify a lot of different quote unquote frameworks or questions to, you know, lists of things to consider, all this stuff. And then what I've witnessed you grow into as a business owner, and then how you are turning your own experience into your next offerings. I don't think it's like you're going to offer your clients like a framework for how to be more free.
I
So, can you
know.
talk with me a little bit about how someone might, like the way I hear you say it and the way I've experienced you is you're gonna be like a guide to help them discover all of those things in a safe space for themselves, right? Because you're not gonna be telling them the eight things they need to do. So can you talk a little bit about that of what you your what someone might imagine for their experience in working together?
Yeah, I think that, that has been a part of like this identity shift from therapist and coach to like what that really looks like. And I think a guide is like a perfect way of like being able to capture it, because this isn't, and that was another thing that I struggled with, of like watching other people get these really fast, quick and hurry results for their clients. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm in a world of business coaches and finance advisors and copywriters and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that's not what I do, right? Like, I working with me does not transform your life really quickly. It doesn't. Working with me creates like a tear. I'm thinking of like this galactic tear in the world. Like, we start talking about like the meta and, multiverse and all that. But like, it creates a tear in your reality of who you get to be and what you want it to look like. Like, the way I envision working with my clients and guiding my clients is there's this river. So you have who you are now. No. You have who you used to be on one side of the river, on the left side, because that's how I'm looking at it. And then you
It's
have
your
who you
river.
want to be. You have who you want to be on the right side. And in order for you to get over there, you have to go through the river. Like, you have to. And on any given day, the river could be smooth and clear and beautiful. And then on other days, it could be really choppy and harsh, and the current could be really bad, and it could be sticks. It could just look horrible. Either way, you have to get to the other side. So your future self, your elevated self, is like, come on, like, it's great over here, right? And then you have your past self that's like, the river isn't, it's not looking good today. We're just gonna stay over here. And then you have who you are in this present moment with all the information that you've learned about yourself. You don't fit in the box anymore, because once you learn something about yourself, like, once I ask certain questions, and just not for any answers, but just for you to reflect, you cannot fit yourself in that box anymore, because you have now been exposed to something that has elevated you just by asking the question. So as much as you want to go back to who you were, you cannot, because you would be squishing yourself into something that you don't belong anymore. You don't fit there anymore. It's not going to feel good. The people aren't going to feel good anymore. The things that you're doing, even like the food, the basic things, just not going to feel good anymore. So you can't stay there, because then you're going to be miserable. So then it's me that comes to you and says, okay, you have to cross. The only way that you can get over there is you have to cross. Let's talk about how you can cross, even though you're scared to do it. even though it's choppy. If we go all the way down there, there's this log, we can make a boat, or we can do this. Like, I'm helping you co-create solutions. Maybe the solutions work, maybe they don't. Maybe we get in the river together and we end up all the way down that bitch, and we got to walk all the way back up and try it again, right? But it's me that is encouraging you and reminding you, you can't go back. Well, let me rewind that. You can go back. You're not gonna like it. Like, that's a fact. I can tell you for sure, you don't fit there anymore. But if you want to keep going back, go ahead. When you're ready, I'll be here to help you get to the other side. And that is something you will have to do over and over and over again. You will have to cross the river over and over again because you have to get to the other side. And as you go through this place of loss, of identity, of I have no clue who I am because everything I've learned is not of me, and I have no clue what that chick is doing over there and how she lives. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that feels like. And people are always, that was one thing I always fussed about. So I'm always talking about feel. What does it feel like? Shit, I don't know. I've never done it before. What do you mean feel it? That didn't make sense to my brain. So I can help through that process of not what does it feel like, but what is the greatest feeling you've ever felt? What can we do to make you feel that all the way across the river? Because that, you know, someone saying, how does it feel to like be in this house or to have this experience? We don't know. And I don't like that question. But if you say, when's the last time you felt really, really good? Oh, well, I was on vacation and we were jumping in the water and it was fun. I felt great and I was laughing. Okay, what can you do today to feel that? Oh, well, I can go to the park or I can go do this. Okay, do that. And try to do that every day. And every day, try to find something else to that makes you feel that same way. And eventually, now you have a whole new life of things that you've explored that make you feel this one particular way. And before you know it, you're on the other side of the fucking river.
That's so great. And when I heard you talking, I had this image. I can't remember the word. Maybe you know the word, but I'm thinking of like the stories in the movies of like, I don't know if they're Lord of the Rings or the kind with dragons and stuff, but you know, the people have to cross the river and then, and it's like spooky and scary and the river's raging and then this like magic character on a raft comes up with their pole and they're like, here, step on. And they're like, really? And the person's like, yes, I will get you across. Like I feel whatever that word is, that's you.
Yes, that is definitely a Lord of the Rings hobbit type thing that happens. And then they get to the other side and it's all lush and flowers and fresh water and everything. That is exactly the experience that I am helping these women have. Like, I'm getting you to the fresh and the lush on the other side. And so that, all of that is what is underneath the iceberg. It's not about the orgasms. It's not about like the libido and all that. It is really the desire to live. And when you find the desire to live in your body through your senses, the experience of sex, it just comes with it automatic. That's part of the process because now you're going into that space fully in your body, knowing what you want, knowing what to ask for, being able to breathe, not needing to think about anything. But if you've never not thought about something before, I can't ask you to go in the bedroom and do that. That has to be like a lived thing. You have to do that all the time. And you should want to. It shouldn't just be something that you do for sex. Like you can experience orgasmic things without having sex. Ask me how I know. A pair of shoes will do it for you, or a good piece of pineapple. And I recently had a buffalo pizza and it was so good. And my friend was like, oh my God, you look like you're over there having an orgasm. I said, this pizza is so good. And so, but I've been able to cultivate experiences like that and being a part of it by the absolute foundations of paying attention to my senses. if I was in my head, there's no way I would have been able to feel the burst of flavor from biting into that pizza for the first time, or sliding my foot into a boot that fits perfectly. It's about the foundations.
Well, now, having spent the last hour with you talking about this, now I can definitely see why you want to get rid of the sex therapist label, because it's a lot bigger than that.
I know it doesn't fit anymore, and I'm ready. It was a little shocking in the beginning to release that because since I was 17, I wanted to be a therapist, and that is just what I have for the last 20 years identified myself as. But I am excited for 2024 to show me what else I have the capability of being in this world outside of just a therapist.
So once again, we've talked longer than
I
we
know.
thought. I always have questions, more questions. But my last question is, tell me who you are calling in.
I am calling in the woman that she knows. She knows she doesn't fit anymore. She knows the Cinderella shoe doesn't fit. She has all of the things. She's in tune, right? Like she's in tune. She knows that something doesn't feel good. She doesn't feel herself. She has recognized and been awakened to the fact that a lot of the decisions that she's made were not because she wanted to make them. It was because she needed to take care of her family, or they wanted her to go and thrive and do this or go to this school, and this is the job you have to have, and this is the money you have to make. The relationships in her life are changing with family, with friends. Something just doesn't, it just doesn't fit right anymore. And she recognizes that in order to figure out what this new puzzle is, we won't even say puzzle piece because now we're looking at a whole new puzzle. In order to figure out what that puzzle is, she has to have the time for herself. She has to have time to connect with herself because this is not of mind. This work is not of mind. It is solely of body. Your body gives you all the answers. And I think she's ready to connect to that part of her because she understands how her mind continues to hinder her. And she wants more, even though she has it all. And she doesn't feel bad about it anymore. So it's like, well, what do I do to get, there's that bridge again. Like, what do I do to get to this other side? I know that something exists over there. I just have no clue what to do or what that would even look like. And that's where the journey begins. I am here to help that process get started. And now the process doesn't end, right? So that's kind of something that needs to be learned. There's no end date to this. You will forever be doing this. But now it's the awareness that yes, I want to do this. I don't want to just live my Groundhog's Day of making decisions because other people want me to, or because this will be best for you and be best for you and best for you, and I'll just go along for the ride. Like I don't want no regrets. I want to live experiences, not just, I want to thrive and sensual experiences. I don't just want to live here on this earth.
How interesting that you started describing another person and you ended on the speaking. You said I,
Oh, did I?
yeah, because you are among them, right?
I am her. I have gone through the experience and I'm just two rivers up. That's all it is.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I feel like I have even more understanding of you,
Yay.
and I am so excited for 2024 to continue to witness that.
Thank you.
This is probably an episode that I'm going to go back and listen to time and time again just to remember where I was. I'm in a place right now where I want to remember the process, I want to remember the journey that I've gone through. And this episode was so good in me being able to express myself. So I hope that you learned a lot about me and how I provide value and just how I am choosing to move in my own little pleasurable world. So definitely rate and review this episode. Share it with someone that you feel needs my presence, needs someone like me in their life, whether it's just listening to the podcast, whether it's coming to Cocoa and Champagne, whether it's coming to one of my retreats, becoming a client, whatever it is, if it is on your heart to share me with someone, please, please do that, because I definitely feel like my voice is going to change the world one Black woman at a time. So I love you so very much. And please remember that pleasure is your birthright. You are deserving of it without even having to do anything. Okay. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.